The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Have you had your prayers answered recently? A 1997 Newsweek magazine poll indicated that 25% of those surveyed say they pray to God once a day, and an additional 29% say they pray more than once a day. How about you? Do you pray to God? And if you do, do you get answers to your prayers? Is God really listening? Is He really concerned? Will He really answer our prayers? Many don't understand why their prayers are not answered. The Bible answers the question of why there are unanswered prayers. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames answers from your Bible, Why We Experience Unanswered Prayer. Now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Millions of people all over the world claim they pray to a higher power. Christians certainly either pray or say prayers. And there's a huge difference between praying to God in faith and just superstitiously saying a prayer. But the Bible teaches us all to pray and to pray sincerely. On a previous program, we discussed the power of prayer. We saw in Ephesians, the third chapter, the wonderful promise of God. We humans sometimes think very narrow-mindedly. We don't have a sense of how powerful God is. We don't believe He can answer our prayers. Or we don't believe He can intervene powerfully in world affairs. We don't believe He can intervene powerfully in our own personal life. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, the third chapter, and verse 20. By the way, we always encourage you to read your own Bible. Just don't believe me or anyone unless you check the Scriptures in your own Bible. Here's an amazing truth, Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do you believe that God is, quote, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? God has existed for all eternity. He's omnipotent, He's all-powerful, and He wants what's best for you. He wants a personal relationship with you. As we've seen in previous programs by Dr. Meredith, God has planned an awesome and wonderful destiny for human beings. But we need to open our eyes to the reality of His existence and His purpose for all of us. First of all, let's again confirm from the Bible that God will intervene for us when we ask Him to. Let's see what Jesus, the Son of God, taught in His famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" The Bible plainly teaches that our Father in heaven wants to give us good things. He wants us to rely on Him, to depend on Him, to trust Him. The Bible confirms that God will act on our behalf when we ask Him. So, what are some of the reasons for unanswered prayers? Let's consider five possible ways God will respond to our prayers. One possible response will be a simple yes. Or two, the answer will be a positive one, but a totally unexpected one, an unusual development of events or circumstances. Three, the answer will be yes, but you'll have to wait a while and exercise patience before the request is granted. Four, the answer will be a simple no, along with the blessing of strength to endure trials and tests. Number five, the answer will be repent and change. You've certain lessons to learn before God will consider your request. First, make the appropriate changes in your attitude and behavior, and God will reconsider your petition later. We all want a yes answer, and there are times when we may need an immediate answer to our prayers. We may need God's help or deliverance quickly. King David of ancient Israel certainly felt that way. As you may know, he wrote many of the Psalms in your Bible as prayers. Just reading the Psalms will help you to pray in a more effective, heartfelt way. Let's look at Psalm 70. David was asking for deliverance from his enemies. Psalm 70 in verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. David then continues his urgent plea in verse 5. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. David didn't hesitate to ask God to hurry up and help him. God heard David's prayer and delivered him from his enemies on numerous occasions. You can read about David's life in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Chronicles. The Apostle Peter is another example of God's quick answer and intervention. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, is an exciting story. The apostles were on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, the sea was stormy when the disciples saw Jesus come toward their boat at night. He was walking on the water, and they were afraid. Jesus comforted them, and Peter then asked to walk out on the water to Jesus. So Peter began to walk on the water to Jesus, but he lost faith. Matthew 14, verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. What did Jesus do? Verse 31 of Matthew 14. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Even when someone lacks faith, God may intervene immediately if one really cries out to God for help and deliverance. He's able to work miracles for us. He's given us wonderful promises, and he'll often answer our urgent pleas very quickly, as Jesus did for Peter. Matthew 14, verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. Jesus promises that God will hear our prayer if we ask in his name. Jesus gives us the authority and the encouragement to pray. John 16 and verse 23. Jesus was instructing his disciples, And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So when you pray, realize you're not coming before God's throne on your own authority, but on the authority of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. As we suggested in a previous program, if you've never prayed before, just simply kneel by your bed or go to some private place. Jesus talked about going into your closet and begin talking to God. You don't need fancy words or the archaic King James language of thy and thou. Just talk to God as you would a friend, but with deep respect, openness, and honesty. Take your Bible with you when you pray. Sometimes having your Bible open to one of the Psalms can help you. We saw earlier that David just cried out to God for help. But your attitude must be one of submitting to God's will and of wanting God to guide you. When you follow the instructions of God's Word, the Bible, you can have confidence. Notice what the book of Hebrews tells us. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Here the book of Hebrews describes the power of Christ as our intercessor, as our great high priest who sits at the right hand of God on our behalf. Jesus is there in heaven for you. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, God will extend mercy and grace to you. He'll help you in a time of need. And let's face it, we're always in a time of need, in need of God's continuous guidance, blessings, and care. So one of the responses to our request to God may be a simple yes. Just as Peter was sinking in the water and cried out, Lord, save me. As we read in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus immediately reached down to pull Peter to safety, even when Peter was lacking faith. There's another possible response God will give us in our answers to our requests. We may not get exactly what we want or get it the way we want. The answer may be a positive one, but a totally unexpected one, an unusual development of events or circumstances. The ancient Israelites wanted freedom from slavery in Egypt. God delivered them by a series of miracles. When they were cornered by the Red Sea in the mountains with Pharaoh's chariots fast closing in on them, they were delivered in a totally unexpected way. God opened the Red Sea for them. God can open a Red Sea for you, whatever your problem may be. You can read the account in the 14th chapter of Exodus. And you've probably seen the story presented annually on television in the classic movie, The Ten Commandments. Yes, God can dramatically intervene for you in very unexpected ways. Now, the Apostle Paul marveled at the wisdom and the power of God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 11 and verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." God will work in miraculous ways to deliver you from your problems. He'll give you a yes answer at times, even when we lack faith. I'd like to offer you a free audio cassette of this program entitled Unanswered Prayer. This free audio cassette will give you the opportunity to review the principles of prayer and to understand why God may or may not fulfill our requests in exactly the way we want. But we can have the confidence that He'll bless us because He knows what we need even before we ask Him.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we considered two possible responses God may give us when we pray. We saw that God will respond sometimes quickly and wonderfully, even if we lack faith. And He'll sometimes work in very unexpected ways to help and deliver us. We've also seen that we have biblical authority to come boldly before the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy in time of need. We saw that we also have authority through our Savior and great High Priest at the right hand of God to make our request directly to the Creator of the universe, our Father in heaven. That's an awesome privilege. Let's understand that we must fulfill several biblical guidelines, however, if we want our prayers answered. We must be humble and not arrogant. Remember, it was the publican or the tax collector in Luke the 18th chapter that prayed, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Yes, we must be willing to humble ourselves in total honesty and repentance before God. And we must also be willing to obey God. Many Christians today think of religion as just an emotional lifestyle without the need for obedience. And yet Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Yes, we need an attitude of obedience and of understanding the commandments of Christ and the law of God. Notice this very important principle in 1 John the 3rd chapter and verse 22. "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." The whole Bible tells us what God's pleasure is for us and His will. And we must be surrendered, willing to obey God always and to keep His commandments. What else will lead us to answered prayers? God will intervene for us at times, even when we lack faith. But God does expect us to exercise faith and to grow in the expression of faith. Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 6, emphasizes our need to trust God in His promises. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Yes, God will bless or reward those who diligently seek Him, who pray to Him every day, who read the Bible every day, because they desire to learn what God wants for them to do in their lives. The faith chapter also mentions men and women of faith. There was Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Abraham's wife Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab the harlot, David, and many others. You know you'll gain much confidence and assurance and faith if you read the Bible with respect and reverence. As it tells us here in Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. Read it every day. Understand what the Creator God has actually accomplished historically and what He promises you today. At least you'll see that God's ability to help you personally is limitless. You'll grow in faith. Yes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God can work miracles for you far above all that we ask or think. How often do people read the Bible? The Barna Research Group reported recently on American Bible reading habits. Quote, the proportion of adults who read the Bible in a typical week outside of church services has remained flat, that is over the past several years, at about one out of every three adults. Incredible! Only 33% of adults read the Bible weekly. My friends, do we wonder why our society seems to be breaking down? Do we wonder why our children and adults turn to violence? We in our supposedly Christian nations not only reject or ignore the instructions of the Bible, we're not even reading the Bible. And yet it's the source that could overcome our immoral systems. When we in our Western nations neglect or reject the Ten Commandments, the teachings of Jesus, the spiritual law of God as taught in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we'll become increasingly violent, immoral, and self-destructive. We'll bring judgment on ourselves. The famous 19th century American statesman Daniel Webster said this about the Bible and our national future. Listen to this. If there is anything in my thoughts or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the Scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. How true and how prophetic those words are. And that's what's going to happen to Bible-rejecting peoples in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand. But you and I don't have to go along with a society that rejects the first commandment. God said in Exodus 20 and verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." My friends, we need to acknowledge the God of the Bible, the true Creator God and His Son Jesus Christ. And we must do that every day. We need to read the Bible every day with an attitude of submissiveness and teachability. We need to get down on our knees every day without fail. My friends, don't go out of your house in the morning without praying or thanking God for life and for His love for you. Ask God to bless you, your family, your country, your work, your activities in a way that will honor Him. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33? Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Our prayers will be answered if we do just that. Sometimes we need to wait for an answer. Perhaps the answer is, be patient. I told you the story in a previous program of my desire to travel to Jerusalem, Israel. I claimed the promise of Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, God eventually fulfilled my request, but His answer was, in essence, be patient. 17 years later, God gave my wife and me the opportunity to participate in an archaeological excavation in the city of David in Jerusalem. But I had to wait for God's will and His timing. That principle is made plain in Hebrews 10 and verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Sometimes the answer to our prayer is simply, wait and be patient. Are you persistent? Are you patient? Human beings, particularly in our generation, the now generation, want instant gratification. And yet God tells us here in Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, or patience, as it is in the King James, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, supposing we're striving to do God's will, and we're striving to be humble, obedient, and living by faith, would God still give us a no answer? You know, when Jesus was in agony the night before his crucifixion, he asked his Father that the cup of suffering might be passed from him if it were God's will. Notice that in Luke 22 and verse 42. Jesus prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So Jesus submitted his will to the Father's will. But God strengthened him to endure the trial. The Apostle Paul also asked God to remove an affliction from him, a problem the Apostle Paul describes as a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul writes, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So you see, there are times that God gives us a no answer, but he'll also give us power, strength, and grace to go forward with our lives. The Creator of the universe knows what's best for us, and he knows how to bless us. But he wants us to talk to him, to trust him, and to love him. So sometimes he answers our prayers with an immediate yes, and with speedy intervention on our behalf. At other times, he answers our prayers with a no, but he gives us the help, the grace, and the strength we need. Let's briefly consider another possible response God will give us in answer to our requests. The answer may be, repent and change. You have certain lessons to learn before God will consider your request. First, make the appropriate changes in your attitude and behavior, and God will reconsider your petition later. The Apostle James warns us about our motivation, and certainly it's a commentary on our worldly societies today. James 4 and verse 3. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures, or lusts, as it says in the King James Version. If we have a get attitude, God will not grant our requests. James writes the solution later here in verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Yes, if we repent, if we change and humble ourselves before God, he says he'll lift us up. He'll begin to answer your prayers, because you'll truly seek to understand his way of life as exemplified by Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Peter wrote, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. That's in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. As you seek the will of God, as you pray, Thy will be done, as you practice and obey the instructions of your Lord and Savior, you'll receive answers to your prayers that will give you contentment, peace, hope, joy, and fulfillment. Pray every day. Pray for others around the world. Pray for the victims of tragedy and their families. Pray for the kingdom to come. Pray for the work of God, that the gospel will be preached in all the world. And thank God every day for all the blessings you enjoy. Read your Bible every day. Try to understand the great destiny and future God has in store for you. and rejoice in the loving relationship you can have with our Father in heaven and with our Savior Jesus Christ. Your life will be changed dramatically, and you'll have the greatest solutions to the problem of unanswered prayer. To help you in your study of the Bible and the principles of answered prayer we've discussed today, I'd like to offer you a free audio cassette entitled Unanswered Prayer. The Bible gives us many principles to understanding how and when God acts upon our requests, but you can review the ones we've discussed today.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
We hope today's program has given you answers to questions you've had about the dynamics of prayer. And we hope you have more understanding about the mystery of unanswered prayer. When we pray, we need to follow the outline that Jesus gave us. There are times when we just cry out to Him. But at other times, when we are reflective, when we have the time, we can address our prayers as Jesus gave us instruction here in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. These are principles of prayer. Pray about these topics every day. And I hope that you'll come to watch every program of Tomorrow's World. Each week, Dr. Meredith and I will be discussing topics concerning Christian living, keys to understanding the mysteries of life, and Bible prophecy. Be sure to join us again next week, right here at the same time.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.